Anybody who got me a bow tie, don't think I won't wear it. Matter of fact, if somebody come tie it, I'll wear it right now. Anyhow, thank you for the bow tie. I told Michelle I wanted one. Michelle, somebody got me a bow tie. Who did it? You did it? You're such a liar, man. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, y'all pray that Kobe gets saved tonight. And let's get into it, all right? This is something that I want to, I'm going to deal with at the YSC conference, but I thought I'd do a test run of it over here, and I'm still working on it, but it's just something the Lord's laid on my heart for the conference, and I pray for you tonight as well. It's hard in church. A lot of churches, they have and many of you have come from this. I know I have. I've come from this area or from a setting like this where a small amount of people do a lot of the work in the church, and other people in the church are not allowed to do anything. It gets discouraging for those that do want to serve and are unable to serve. But I want to take it to another level and just say this, that when you have so many serving like we do, it also presents problems and difficulties. And here's where those are. When new folks come in and they want to serve, there's so many that are already doing ministries that have to be done and are needed, that oftentimes they end up serving in an area that isn't as celebrated as somewhere else in the church. In other words, they may be, you look around here and we have our care team and they're in your face, I pray, and they haven't been too much since COVID's come along, but they shake your hand, they greet you when you come in the doors, they're walking around, they're talking to you, the different things like that. You have the choir, they're visual, you see them, they sing, we applaud for them, we tell them, amen, y'all did a good job, we tell them, you know, the musicians, they do a tremendous job, and they get a lot of credit, they're up on the platform, and they're seen, the sound man, he's not seen, but if without Brother Matt, I'm cussing. I'm serious. I mean, without a good sound man, you're in trouble. I need somebody to say amen. Y'all ever notice that when something happens with the sound, everybody turns around and looks at him? Right. Now, how many times have you gone? I guarantee you turned around and looked at him like, what's wrong? More than you've gone back to him and said, you're doing a great job. Amen. All right. You got somebody up there on the computer. They're doing just fast as they can trying to get the words up there. And Lord help that they slow because everybody turns around like, where's the words at? You know, and y'all just stand there and laugh at them or, oh, Lord help if there's a typo up there. Right. Preacher, we just thought you ought to know that there's a typo on the screen. Trust me. If you've seen it, I've seen it. All right. And I'll catch some things. But anyhow, a lot of folks are doing things behind the scenes. A lot of people are working in a job around the church and a ministry around the church that isn't as celebrated as others. And what it does is what it causes is a feeling of I'm not important. And when we start feeling, as everybody, I hope I'm getting this to you the way it's coming out, the way I want it to come out. But when we start feeling insignificant, then we stop doing what we've been doing. You wonder why people, well, we gave them a ministry. I don't know why they're not here anymore. And we gave them a ministry of picking up trash. We gave them a ministry, you know what I mean? And it was simply because everybody's working in that, and praise the Lord for that. But oftentimes we find ourselves, and this is the title of the message tonight, serving in obscurity. The fact of the matter is that we're not all going to get a pat on the back. I need you to understand that. Maybe to help you tonight. Maybe I can help you tonight with that. We're going to look at the life of Joseph for tonight and just kind of get a glimpse of his life and a particular area of his life, a particular event. Now, we all know that Joseph had a dream as a young boy. We all know that dream was that God was going to elevate him to a position of authority, and that his brothers would bow down to him, and eventually his father and mother would bow down to him. And so God gave him this dream, and his brothers was very jealous of Joseph, that we know in the Bible. And so his father sent him with a task to go check on his brothers. And when they came out, Joseph came out to find them. They seen him coming from afar. They identified him because of a coat of many colors. And so they started plotting against Joseph. And they ended up throwing Joseph in a pit. Most of us know about that pit. I've preached on it many times in here. But Joseph was thrown in a pit. And then Reuben steps in. They were going to kill him. Reuben steps in. He says, let's not kill him. You know, and he was going to, his idea was to save him, to take him away, get him out of the pit, and take him back to his father. But before he could do that, they sold Joseph into slavery. We know that Joseph ended up in Egypt, and he ended up at Potiphar's house, who was the captain of the guard. And we know at Potiphar's house what happened. God blessed Joseph while he was there, and it caused everything in his hand to prosper. And Joseph was doing great until Potiphar's wife, in her lust, wanted to lay with Joseph. And the Bible says that he fled from her in such a manner that he left his coat, everything. I mean, he just took off and ran. And yet, she goes and she makes a false accusation about Joseph. She says that it was him that was the aggressor. And so Potiphar is put in a bad spot now. And let's be honest about this. Potiphar knew she was lying, because the punishment for something like that in the house would have been Joseph's head. But yet Potiphar put him into prison. Potiphar put him, according to the Bibles, which we're going to start reading tonight here in chapter number 39, he put him in the king's prison, which Potiphar was over. All right. Remember, he was the captain of the guard. So we'll take a look at that. Start our reading in chapter number 39 and verse number 21. We'll pick up a couple of verses in chapter number 40 and one verse in chapter 41. And then we're going to get into this message of serving God in obscurity. The Bible says, but the Lord, I'm in verse number 21 of chapter 39. The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. This was when Potiphar threw him in the prison and showed him mercy and gave him favor. Let me go back to verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So we find in chapter number 39, the last few verses, Joseph is thrown into the king's prison, prison, and where the kings, those that have offended the king, those that have trespassed against the king, those that have done deeds against the king personally. Now, this is the reason I'm saying all that is because this had more security. This was more than the other prison. But anyhow, we're told that Joseph, even though he was thrown into the prison, the Lord was with him and caused him to prosper. And Joseph served while in the prison. Now, you want to talk about serving in obscurity? There ain't a whole lot of praise in the prison. I need somebody to say amen. Especially back in their day. They weren't watching TV and working out and playing basketball during the day and doing the different things that they're allowed to do at the prison now. And so for Joseph to be thrown into the prison, number one, falsely, false accused. And by the way, Joseph never got acquittal on that. Joseph went to the grave and never got acquittal over being accused of a sexual assault on his master's wife. And so Joseph was thrown into the prison, and he was thrown into the king's prison, and he worked and ministered while he was in his prison. All right. Now, that's important. We're going to keep that going in chapter number 40. The Bible says in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard. Who is the captain of the guard? Potiphar, very good. That sounded like one of my Sunday school members, all right? Into the prison, the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Verse number 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Look at this. And he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And so we don't know the time period on this, but according to the last verse that I read, they were there for a time, a season in the world, in the war. But what's significant about this is once again, we see Joseph in chapter number 39 serving and the keeper of the prison, putting him over everything in the prison that it, the Bible says everything that was under his hand. He didn't know anything about it. Joseph had the charge of it all. And now we find out the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And the Bible says he served them. Now, one of these jokers was as guilty as he can be. And the other one was innocent. And yet Joseph, according to the Bible, served them while he was in prison, falsely accused. Let's keep everything in. Is everybody all right? We're keeping it all in check right here. Okay. So we find out. Joseph's thrown into prison. While he's in the prison, he's serving them, and he's serving them in spite of, one, being in the prison, and in spite of, two, being falsely in the prison. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 15, I'll just give you up to that before I read verse number 15. The butler and the baker, they both have dreams, all right? And these dreams, they are troubled by, and so the Bible says that Joseph offered to interpret it. Now, he said God was the one that interpreted, but he told them, hey, give me a story, tell me what the dream was, and Joseph ended up interpreting both dreams, all right? Now, for the butler or the cupbearer, his dream, the interpretation of it, was in 3 days that the king would restore him to his place and there in the palace, and that he would live, all right? For the baker, his was in 3 days, king's going to take your head, all right? And the birds of the field, they're going to pluck out your eyeballs, all right, while you're hanging there, all right? So when Joseph gave the interpretation, Joseph asked for one thing, verse number 15. He says this, he says, for indeed, all right, let me go back to verse 14. I'll read 14, 15. He says this, he says, but think on me, when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So his one request for answering the or interpreting the dream was that the butler remembered him. Okay. All right. Now, Joseph just wanted to be heard. He said, I was stolen away from the Hebrew when I was in the land of Hebrew. I was stolen away from that. And he says, and I'm in prison right now wrongfully. He said, all I ask you to do is remember me, mention me to the king. All right. Mention me to Pharaoh. All right. So that's verse number 15. Now flip over with me, if you will. Let's go to the last verse of chapter number 40, verse number 23. The Bible says this. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Chapter number 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. I'll stop right there. Okay. So Joseph had one request. He interpreted the dream. He said, you're going to be restored back. He said, remember me and tell, if you will, please tell Pharaoh about me that I can be removed out of this house. Then later at the end of the chapter, last verse of the chapter, we find out the butler did not remember. He forgot about it. And then the next verse tells us that for the next 2 full years, Joseph was still in the prison. He was still in the prison, yet to be exonerated, never to be exonerated, but yet to be released from prison. And in all that time, Joseph served those that he was placed under. Is everybody with me? We're talking about serving in obscurity. Serving when there's not a pat on the back. Serving when there's not a thank you card. Serving when there's not a praise. Serving when it's just doing what we're doing for God. Is everybody all right? All right. So as we look at this tonight, I want to tell you that if you feel that way, you're not alone. We've already seen Joseph, and there's an example of Joseph who has served in obscurity. Did you know that Moses served in obscurity? The Bible tells us that at the age of 40 years old, Moses ended up running away from Egypt because he killed a man with his bare hands. The Bible tells us for the next 40 years, Moses served on the backside of a desert, watching after sheep. That don't seem very glamorous. Is everybody all right? I mean, here is God's chosen deliverer of the nation of Israel, and he's on the backside of a desert with a bunch of stinking sheep, right? For 40 years. How about Joshua and Caleb, who wanted to go over and wanted to conquer the land of Canaan? But 10 spies says we can't do it. So for 40 years, they waited for what God had promised them. Serving in obscurity. How about Elijah? You go to Elijah, and Elijah, he comes out, burst on the scene, tells the king there ain't going to be no rain, and then God says, okay, now I want you to go sit by the brook Cherith all by yourself. And I'm going to send you some companions. Some ravens are going to come feed you in the morning and the evening, and you're just going to hang out there until when, Lord? Till the brook dries up. Then I'm going to send you over to Zarephath. Not very glamorous over there either. It's going to be a widow woman and a young boy, her child, and all they got is a handful of meal and a cruse of oil. But I'm going to send you over there. And for the next year and a half, every day, y'all going to go out there and you're only going to find one hand of meal and a little bit of oil in the cruse, whatever. And he says, do y'all see where I'm going with this? Serving in obscurity. I'm sure Elijah, he comes and confronts the king, and he was probably thinking, man, my ministry is fixing to start. And God says, all right, go sit by yourself. Well, how about Elisha? Elisha was anointed by Elijah after Mount Carmel, when Elijah went and to Mount Sinai, and God, the mount of God, and God told him, he said, you're going to go and you're going to anoint Elisha. Well, according to the Bible and according to study in the Bible, Elisha, according to one of the heathen, their testimony of Elisha was that he poured water on the hands of the man of God. A little bit of study and you'll find out that it is very possible and likely that Elisha did that for 20 years. For 20 years. Following around Elijah, why Elijah got all the credit, right? And he served in obscurity. We don't know much about Elisha until the last day of Elijah. The last day of Elijah, we find out that Elisha, he says, what can I give you? Elijah said, what can I give you? He said, give me a double portion of thy spirit. And Elijah said, well, that's a hard thing that you ask. He said, but if you see me go, and let me tell you something, if you get anything out of this, get this. These men that served in obscurity, they were faithful. They were faithful. John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was 30 years old before his ministry started. He gets on and burst onto the scene, man, makes a big scene, and just a few months after him, Jesus shows up. He that comes after me is greater than me because he was before me. So John burst on the scene, Jesus comes, John loses his head. Is everybody all right? How about Paul? Many people don't know this, but Paul, from his conversion till the time that he began start and serve in ministry, was approximately 14 years before he was commissioned. And so Paul didn't just start off on fire running and going and going and going. Matter of fact, the disciples told him, hey, you need to go back to Tarsus. I think every person, every one of us goes through a period of time where we serve in obscurity. And I believe if we're not careful, I believe the devil uses that and uses it against us, and it ends up costing more people ministry and costing more people, getting more people out of the church than we want to give it credit for. Well, I did this and nobody, is everybody all right? I grew up and I played football and somebody had to take me to the football field, Brother Scott. My parents couldn't stand up here and tell you they went to every one of my games. I played football and sometimes they wasn't there. Now, we got parents that'll go, I'm talking about slam in debt to run their kids to every ball game, be there for this and be there for that. And is everybody all right? I'm not getting on to you. I'm just saying to you that we've created a culture of constant praise, constant praise, constant praise. And then when they come into the church and they get saved and, hey, we need you to do this ministry, but this ministry ain't out in the forefront and it ain't out there where everybody else, it ain't a sign with a marquee sign with your name on it. It's nothing more than doing for the Lord. And the devil will take that thing and he'll turn it around and he will use it against us. We're familiar with Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm getting there. I promise you the sermon will be quick once I get there, all right? So Hebrews chapter number 11 is the hall of faith, right? We go through the hall of faith. We see Noah there. We see Abraham's there. And David is mentioned there. Stephen is mentioned there. I mean, you just go through and it's just like, it's like looking at all the highlights of the Old Testament. Rahab, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And man, you think, man, look at all these heroes of the faith, right? But then it gets down to chapter number 11 to verse number 35. I believe it's verse number 35. And there's another group that's mentioned in that. And Hebrews was in my Bible. Y'all pray for me, all right? And I'll get there at some point, all right? Hebrews chapter number 11. And let me make sure I'm in the right place on verse number 35. I think it's there. Yeah, it says, women received their dead raised to life again. Now listen to this. And others. We've gone through all these heroes of the faith, and then the Bible says in verse number 35, and others. They weren't mentioned. They weren't mentioned. We don't know what they did, Brother Herman. We don't know what their, we've seen the displays and the acts of faith in all the heroes of the Bible. But then the Bible tells us there was others. And it doesn't tell us about their acts of ministry. It doesn't tell us about all the things that they did. You know what it tells us? It says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now listen to this. Of whom the world was not worthy. The others, the Bible says, the ones that you and I don't know what they did, we just know how they died. We know some of the ways that they died. The Bible says about them, it says in verse number 38, the world was not worthy of. Oh, I need somebody to help me. See, our mindset, and I wrote down this quote from an author. It said, obscurity in the world is not obscurity with the Lord. Just because we're not living in the praise of men here does not mean that God has not taken notice of what we are doing. Matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter number 6, if you begin reading in verse number 1, you can read down and Jesus is speaking, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, if you give your alms, he says, do it to the effect. Now, I ain't quoting scripture here, but he says, do it in the manner that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. He said, don't do it for the praise of man, but do it for the praise of God. For if you do it for the praise of man, you have your reward. But he goes on from that and he says, if your prayers are the same way, he said, don't be like the Pharisees who are hypocrites and like to stand and boast in their prayers and all of this. He says they have their reward. That verse ends, that when he gets down to it, he ends that verse with, they have their reward. Then it goes on and it talks about, it talks about giving alms, it talks about prayer, and it talks about fasting. It says when you fast, don't let everybody know that you fast. Do it in private. You do it in secret. And it says in each time, in each instant, don't do it for men. Do it in secret because God sees in secret and he'll reward you. But if you do it before men, you have your reward. You know how many people are losing out on rewards because they got to have a pat on the back? Because somebody has to tell them how great they are and how great of a job they're doing. You know how many people are losing out on rewards in heaven? Because we want recognition. We all do. Can I be honest? Is it all right? I like it too. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I got some pride issues, and I ain't gonna lie to you again. You got some pride issues. You just might not be willing to admit them. But I like it, Brother Kenny. Every service when you come up and say, man, that sure was good. I know you're lying, but I appreciate it. My wife, every service. Hey, that was a good sermon. Man, that was good. You're lying, but I appreciate it. And I say it like as if I'm trying to be humble. I ain't being humble. I really like when you say that stuff because we like recognition. We like recognition. We like somebody to say, hey, you're doing a good job. A lot of us didn't get that at home, and so we need it. And we need it in our everyday life. We need it on the job site. We need it in the church. But how many of us are losing out on rewards because we're working and ministering for the praise of men rather than the service of God? I wrote down another quote. It says, if you feel called to ministry but will not serve in obscure places, you don't want to do ministry, you just want recognition. Man, that thing kind of punched me right between the, is everybody all right? Kind of hit me pretty hard. So preacher, how do I keep the right spirit and serve in obscurity? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right. I got three keys. Okay. To serving in obscurity. Number one, you must maintain a correct perspective. You got to maintain a correct perspective of who you are and who God is. Is everybody all right? That's your two sub points. A right perspective of who God is and a right perspective of who you are. If you understand that God, I told our college last night, I said, God is good. It's gonna happen. It's like an echo. Is everybody all right? God is good all the time. And then you have somebody like Brother Scott over there all the time. God is good. Right? Is everybody all right? Trust me, you get around Church of God people and talk about God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Hey, you brother, blessed and highly favored. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. I got a friend and he's Church of God. He goes to the Zay City Church of God over there. Every time I talk to him, I was like, he says, how you doing, preacher? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, I ain't going to ask you how you doing because I know you're blessed and highly favored. He just goes to laughing. Right? We must maintain our right perspective of who God is and who we are. Now, let me tell you what Joseph did. This is something that I thought was really good, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But there was never a time in Joseph's life where Joseph was not under the authority of somebody else. Now, I want you to think about that and think about it real hard. There was never a time in Joseph's life when he was not under the authority of somebody else. You and I, we think we live free and we want to be out from under any kind of authority whatsoever. But one of the greatest Christians and examples, by the way, there is more comparison of Joseph to Jesus in the Old Testament. He is the number one most a character of the Old Testament that is closest related to Jesus as far as a typology. All right. And the Bible tells us about him from the entire time that we read about him in scripture. He was under the authority of somebody else. And the majority of that time, it was as a slave. Is everybody with me? Now that's humbling thought, but that's who we are. The fact of the matter is I have to have a right perspective of who I am. I'm nothing more than a servant. I'm gonna need somebody else to say amen. If we don't get that, then we've missed out on Christianity. My job, what God saved me for, was to serve. That's it. If you think God saved you for anything else, you missed out on it. All right? If he saved you for heaven, you'd already be there. He saved you to serve, and he gave you gifts to serve. So he's enabled you, he's called you to serve, and he's enabled you to serve. So the question is, are you serving? I've got to maintain the right perspective in my life. I'm nothing more than a servant. I do what God tells me to do. God tells me to serve, then I serve, whatever capacity that's in. Someone, bless God, I'm not going to clean the toilet. Why? Are you too big to do that? I clean the toilet. One of y'all, I don't know, maybe both of y'all can testify. I don't know if both of y'all was there that night. We had the bathroom run over, and me and Joey Martin was in there in rubber boots. And I won't give all the details. Serving in obscurity because nobody else was around us. You don't ever forget about that smell. Is everybody all right? Oh, listen, when we talk about serving in obscurity, we start to thinking when we don't have the right perspective of ourselves, we think ourselves too high to serve. So if I'm going to serve God in obscurity, then I'm going to have to maintain the right perspective of who I am and of who he is. Is he not worthy? Is he not worthy? Did we not say God is good all the time? God is good. Well, if we're going to say God is good all the time God is good, and we're going to call him our Lord, then it just makes sense that we serve him. And we don't serve him so Brother Robbie will say good job. We don't serve him so our Sunday school teacher will say good job. We don't serve him so our neighbors will say a good job. We serve him because he's worthy. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. If you don't come next Sunday, I'm still going to preach. If you wasn't here last Wednesday, guess what? I still preach. Now, they didn't like it, the ones that was here, but I did preach. And Sunday, I preach. And you might not be here this Sunday, but I'm still going to preach because I don't do it for you. I do it for him and for whoever comes, but it's for him that he gets the honor and glory out of it. Because if I do it for any other reason, then I have my reward. I'm gonna be honest with you. The rewards down here don't pay too good. So you must maintain a correct perspective. Number two, y'all ready? You must maintain a Christ-like passion. Joseph remained faithful. You go into Potiphar's house, Joseph worked. Got thrown into prison, Joseph worked. Got brought out of prison into the palace, Joseph worked. He stayed faithful. You know what I find with people that are serving in obscurity because they're not getting recognition? They're not faithful in what they're doing. It's almost like it's a challenge to find out if anybody really does notice that they're serving the Lord. So I have to maintain a Christ-like passion. What did Jesus do the whole time he was here? Serve. He was faithful. Matter of fact, he was so faithful that the disciples, you remember, they come up there and they said, send them away. The Bible says Jesus looked on them having compassion. Said, nah, boys, we fixing to feed this 5,000. What? We're tired. He was faithful. We got to remain humble. In chapter number 40 and verse number 8, the Bible says Joseph talking about interpreting dreams. Now, the Bible says in verse number 8, down at, towards the end, Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? In chapter number 41 and in verse number 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. The whole time that Joseph served in obscurity, he did it faithfully and he did it humbly. It wasn't about, is everybody all right? It wasn't about Joseph. It was about God and God getting the glory out of Joseph's life. So I must maintain a Christ-like passion. Not only did he remain faithful and he remained humble, but he remained diligent. He worked hard. I've already gone over that. And he remained compassionate. I want you to notice something that Joseph did here in verse number 6 of chapter number 40. The Bible says, and Joseph came in unto them, talking about the butler and the baker, in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? He was compassionate. He cared about others. Here Joseph is in the prison. Here he is serving falsely in the prison. And he notices that somebody that, a prisoner, two prisoners that are in the prison are sad. And he cares enough about them and concerned enough about them to say, hey, what's going on? You know what happens with most people that serve in obscurity? They get bitter. They get bitter. Bitterness is a sin. The root of all sin is what? No, it ain't evil. Come on, what did you say? Selfishness. That's exactly right. At the bottom of it all, sin, the root of all sin, every sin is selfishness. We don't feel like we're getting our just reward. If we don't feel like we're getting the recognition and the praise that we ought to get, a seed of bitterness is planted into our heart. Satan knows how to do that, don't he? I did this and I did that and I do this around the church and I do that around the church. Who are we doing it for? Preacher, how do I serve in obscurity? You must maintain a correct perspective. You must maintain a Christ-like passion. And lastly, and I'm done, and it might take 4 or 5 hours. You must maintain confidence in God's providence. Now, I'm going to say that again. You must maintain confidence in God's providence. Now, I said God is good. Y'all said, all the time, God is good. Well, if we really believe that, if we believe God is good, then we have to believe that whatever God does for us is good. Whatever God allows to happen to us is good. But preacher, that was rough. That hurt. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because Joseph, what he went through, I don't think any of us have. I've never been thrown in a pit by my brothers. I promise you I hadn't because they're still alive. I need somebody to say amen. I've never been sold into slavery. I've never been accused of raping a woman. I've never been thrown into a prison. Okay? Falsely, right? But everything that happened to Joseph was moving him towards God's purpose for his life. Now, well, before we get all that's right, let's talk about it for a moment. Because when I think about God's purpose for my life, it doesn't include a pit. Is everybody all right? It doesn't include my family turning on me and throwing me into a pit. My idea of God's purpose for me, does anybody have an idea of God's purpose for you being your family turning on you and throwing you into a pit? How about this? Is anybody's idea of God's purpose for your life not only your family throwing you in the pit, but then selling you into slavery? Is anybody's idea? Y'all got to help me now. Talk to me. Is anybody's idea? There, my purpose, God's purpose for me. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. He going to put me into prison. He going to throw me in the pit. He going to sell me into slavery. I can't wait to serve Jesus. But see, it was a pit that got him to Egypt. It was the slavery that got him in a position to be thrown into prison. But not just any prison. The king's prison. Because see, Joseph's purpose was to save much people alive. Joseph didn't know that. All Joseph knew was that God had something special for him because of a dream that he had as a boy. And he served faithfully. He served humbly. He served diligently. He served compassionately because God's purpose has not yet been accomplished in his life. But on the way to God's purpose, there was a pit. Pit wasn't good. But it was on the way to his purpose because the pit had to happen to get him to Egypt. Had to happen. The pit had to be in God's will for his life to get him to Egypt. There in Egypt, Potiphar had to come along with his sorry wife. She was a part of God's purpose. Do you understand that? She was a part of God's purpose. She falsely accused him of raping her. But yet she was a part of God's purpose to get him into the king's prison. So that he would come in contact with the king's cupbearer, who would remember him when the king had a dream and tell the king, and the king would promote Joseph out of the jail to number two in command. For the purpose that God had given. Now that's tough to swallow. It's easy to say amen to. It's easy to say hallelujah. But when you're living in the pit. See, the pit wasn't that too long. It wasn't that long. He got thrown in the pit, and by nightfall he was out of the pit. That wasn't too bad. Got over there to Potiphar's house, and I mean, he was in slavery, but I mean, how bad could it really be? I mean, Potiphar gave him anything he wanted. Put everything under the charge of his hand. Whatever he did, I mean, he made all the decisions. I'm sure he didn't live like what you and I would think of as a slave. But then we come to the prison. And he's thrown into the prison, and in the beginning of chapter number 40, we are told that the baker and the butler was in there for a season. And then later we're told that the butler forgot about him, and two full years later, I don't know how long the season was, but I know how long two full years are. And it don't seem like that's a good place to be. And when you're in the prison and you don't know, you ain't got the foreknowledge of God's purpose, it's tough to serve. But God, I heard this morning, y'all. It was so good. I'm going to share this because I think it goes right here. The Bible says, in the Bible, Jesus called Peter an enemy. Get thee behind me, Satan. He called him an enemy. And he called Judas a friend. Judas betrayed him. Peter was the one that says, I'll go with you to the grave. Peter was one that's the most celebrated apostle that there is, other than the apostle Paul. And so, is everybody with me? Jesus called Peter an enemy. He called Judas a friend. Listen to this. This was good. This ain't mine. This was another preacher, but I loved it. He said Peter was trying to keep Jesus from God's purpose. And so Jesus called him an enemy. Judas was pushing God or pushing Christ to God's purpose. And he was called a friend. Now, with that being said, how many friends have you and I called enemies that God has done nothing more than use them to push us towards our purpose? It is good. I've been chewing on that all day. Some black preacher. I don't even, James Ford Jr. I don't know nothing about him. Don't go look him up. All right. He may be charismatic, speaking in tongues, handling snakes. I don't know. But that quote got all over me this morning on the way to the gym at 5:30. I was like, come on now. Thinking about this sermon. And how it fits. We're not to our purpose. Serving in obscurity is not the end of the world. Many times serving in obscurity is just preparing us for greater things. Because if we started off with greater things, our pride that every one of us has would probably destroy us. So, we got to maintain the right perspective. We got to maintain the right passion, the right performance, however you want to do that. And then we got to maintain a confidence in God's providence. Joseph's life can be summarized right here. He was in the right place with the right people at the right time. But it was all in a prison. Serving in obscurity. But had he been elevated, Jeremy, he wouldn't have been in the right place with the right people at the right time. Serve where God has placed you, not for the praise and the approval of men, but because he is worthy. And know that God's got a plan. Have confidence. God is good all the time. If God is good all the time, and he is, I said one of his attributes, God is good. If God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and whatever God allows me to go through, Miss Crystal, it's for my good. Matter of fact, I remember a verse in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. It says, when we know that all things work together for our good. All right? Listen now. I'm not going to go on with it. All things work together for our good. All things aren't always good. But the verse says, God works all things for our good. If it ain't good, but God's working it for our good. Prison ain't good. Potiphar's wife ain't good. Being forgotten ain't good. But God's working all things for our good. You come to the piano for me if you will. Let's get around the altar tonight. Maybe you feel like you're serving in obscurity. I want you to know something. What's not seen in public, God is taking notice of. What you're going through, where you're at, I want you to know God knows exactly where you're at. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. And there's nothing more our adversary wants to do than to get you off track, get you focused on self. Let pride swell up. Lack of recognition. To sow.